Turn in your Bibles to 2 Peter in the first chapter, where we have been for many weeks now, taking some detours. We finished this incredible section of verses 1 through 11, where Peter is talking about all that God has done for you, giving you the divine nature, the divine power, the divine promises, and then exhorting you to make every effort to have these character qualities that are already there in seed form, that you might be fruitful and faithful and hopeful and effective in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that grace and peace would be multiplied through your life. And he says, you've been furnished already in seed form with these character qualities, which those things out lest you become nearsighted and lose your hope and lose your assurance and really just mess up your walk. And fall for the false teachers and the fads and the frauds and all the new and exciting things and not sticking with the old paths. And Peter talked about furnishing your faith with virtue, this moral courage, and that moral courage, that virtue with knowledge, and that knowledge with self-control. You apply it to yourself, and that self-control with steadfastness, which we need so desperately today. I need that. And then steadfastness with godliness, it anchors. Any steadfastness has got to be anchored with godliness. It's not, you don't follow the ways of the world. It's not follow your heart. It's follow Christ. And then that steadfastness, that godliness with brotherly affection and love, that love for and from God, that's the love for other people flow from that. So let's read the Word of God. Let's stand for that reading. Because now he's going to do something else. And he's basically saying, I'm dying, and I've got to remind you of this, and I'm going to remind you this till the day I die. And you know what? Since I know I'm about to die, I'm going to write it down, so make sure you remember this. And that's what we'll title our message today. This is your reminder. 2 Peter 1, verse 12 through 15. Therefore, I intend always to remind you of these qualities. Again, that's verses 5 through 7, what he's talking about. Though you know them, and are established in the truth that you have. I think it is right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder, since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. And I will make every effort so that after my departure you may be able at any time to recall these things, Father. Burn these truths in our souls, to our hearts, through our minds, and in our lives. Let them be tattooed in our consciousness, always convicting us and exhorting us and equipping us and converting us to a daily walk with you. Remind us, Lord, take me now, O great potter. Make me, mold me, smash me, fill me, whatever you decide. That we would remember this day, and remembering this day, we'd follow in full faith. This I pray for us all. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want you to imagine that you're at the eye doctor. And you're at the eye doctor, and you have an appointment to check your vision. And the doctor, you know, has special training and skills and equipment to help you diagnose any vision problems and to help you correct them. And you go through a series of tests, you know, look at this, look at that, your depth perception and things like that. And then they do that little puff where there's no way you think, I'm going to be tough this year and not blink, but then there's nothing you can do, right? But they use special equipment to help you see as close to perfect as you can. 1 or 2, 3 or 4, 5 or 6, right? And then eventually he says, okay, this is what you need. And you see better. You can see, you know, what and he keeps doing it until you can see. And, of course, you could memorize the chart, but they flip them now a little bit. Because, well, anyway, I won't tell you why I know that, but I've known my eye doctor for 34 years, and he knows me and what I'm capable of. But they use special equipment to help you see as close to perfect as you can. And then, based on all of that, they prescribe a pair of glasses for you, let's say. Now, let me ask you a question. Would you then get mad at the eye doctor? Well, if you're a little kid, you might. I don't know. Now, you might be disappointed, but you trust their diagnosis. And because they were able to help you see perfectly when you're there at the eye doctor, you know that the glasses they're ordering to you, you know, will work. You'll see much better if you wear them. But all that won't help if you just saw better at the doctor's office, but you never, you know, wore the glasses out in real life. You know, you can say, you can't just say, oh, I need to see right now. Let me go to my eye doctor, pick this thing up, put it in my car, right? I can't tell if she's good looking or not. I think I'll get these glasses. What, you know? Okay. Anybody's been to the eye doctor before? Have I lost everybody already? But you know what I mean. Doesn't help you out if you never wear the glasses, right? Now imagine me as your spiritual eye doctor. You could say, Peter, if you don't like me, that's fine. My job is to help you see better. Help you more clearly and vividly see Jesus Christ through the pages of Scripture. And I don't just want to improve your vision for the moment. I want to help correct and maintain your spiritual vision for everyday life. And I got two jobs. One, help you see Jesus when I see you. Two, is to convince you to keep your glasses on. That's what Peter's talking about in this passage. And he goes so far as to write in Scripture, and the Holy Spirit had him write, look, I got to remind you again and again and again and again and again, and I'm going to do it till I die. I'm going to do so much, I'm going to write it down. You need to keep this going. The character of Christ is what you need to see life through. There's a reason you chase fads and frauds and anything else that seems lively. There's a reason. Everybody's offending you all the time. There's a reason you don't like me. There's a reason you don't like anybody. There's another reason for anger, bitterness, contempt, despair, fear, and grumbling. It's because you're seeing Jesus through those things instead of seeing those things through Jesus. And you need to adjust your glasses. And then you need to wear them. You know how it is with guys. They're not going to put them on until they have to put them on. Peter's saying you always need them on. Again, I want to convince you to keep your glasses on. And that means more than just Sunday mornings. But if you don't even do that, do you really expect to be wearing them through the week? During the week, lots of things can affect your focus and distort your spiritual vision. Now, when I speak of spiritual vision, I'm not trying to be all mystical and supernatural in the sense of some mystical ability to see the future or some special knowledge or power. What I'm talking about is the ability to see life through the lens of Jesus, where His character, read verses 5 through 7. His character is bigger than anything and everything else, and it affects how you see things. Again, you see that He's the standard. You see what it looks like. You don't meet it. You confess that you don't meet it. You confess that He met it for you, and then you strive after that as a way of life, and He begins to develop that in you as you humbly depend on Him. It's called repentance and faith. These are the steps of spiritual vision. But let me ask you, what type of Jesus do you see? Are you looking at Jesus through special lenses? You see, Jesus doesn't seem to be able to help you when you're wearing the glasses of anger or bitterness or contempt, despair, or fear. The glasses color all that you see. Let me give you an example. Take the glasses of grumbling. You're just grumbling. You think about all that you don't have. That pastor doesn't do it right. My wife doesn't do it right. That job stinks. My girlfriend is no good. I wish I had your girlfriend, this, that, and the other. Whatever it is. Everything's grumble, 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 grumble. Someone could come up and say, hey, here's $50. And instead of thinking, you know, God's looking after me, and God is going to take care of me, and I just got $50 out of the blue by some stranger said, God told me to give you $50. But you'd be thinking, it's just not enough money. Why? Because although you have this wonderful stuff, you see it through the glasses of grumbling. So something good can happen to you, but you don't see it right because you're wearing the wrong glasses. Does that make sense? My job, my call for me and to help you is not only to see Jesus when you're here through the pages of Scripture, but also to be able to keep those glasses on because lots of things will try to knock them off of you. And Satan does hit people with glasses on. When you're in church, amazing things can happen. Jesus can come in a moment to focus, refocus, to give you spiritual sight. Open the eyes of my heart. Lord, we sing it all the time. And if He did it, sometimes you might be afraid. But you can always see, I don't meet the standard. He does meet the standard. He meets it for me. Thank you, Jesus, Lord. I want to be like you. It's called worship. If Jesus came in here and he was wearing a yellow shirt and glasses, everybody would want to wear a yellow shirt and glasses. Come on. If Jesus said, I think I'm going to Disney World, everybody would be like, I think I'm going to Disney World too. Jesus is all over the place. But you know what he looks like? I'll tell you what he looks like. He looks like virtue with knowledge, self-control, steadfastness, godliness, brotherly affection, and love. He looks like that at all times. That's who he is. And when you are trusting him, and when you keep focused on that, you don't have it, he does have it, but he's put it inside of you. You begin to walk that out. You start seeing that happen in your life. You get focused better, and so you respond to the things of life with that rather than through the other glasses. Again, Jesus can come in a moment and focus your vision. And people do it on Sunday all the time. Woo-hoo! And they fall down. Woo! And say stuff and all this, whatever. And then they just turn into the same old, same old. You know why? Because you can get your lazy, no good husband, nice glasses, and get him to the eye doctor, and he can get that perfect prescription. But if he doesn't put the glasses on, it doesn't do him any good. And you're the same way. You can have a good pair of glasses, but you don't think you really need them day to day. Oh, they're just reading glasses. You know, we do that with our pride, don't we? I don't need a hearing aid. Yeah, you do. Good for you. Fine. Right? I don't need to stand on this platform. No, I'm 5'2" and you can't see me otherwise. I'm going to say it. I don't need to wear that diaper. Well, maybe you do. Oh, well. Oh, no. Right? Are we just going to let our pride handle us? Are we going to let Jesus handle us? You see, we think of potter and clay, and we think, you know, if we're just not doing it right, he's going to smash us down and all that. But so often the problem is that we want to be a cookie jar, and he's making us into a coffee pot. Or he allows, and we allow, stuff to chip us away, and so the juice starts leaking out. We think, but I'm not being filled up. And what, you know, lots of things happen because we have the wrong vision. And people think that they see these character qualities, they see things, they know, and they've got it already. They've said a prayer, they've signed a card, they got wet, they've been to church on a few days here, a few days there. I don't need all that. They think they can just squint their way to better vision. You see what I'm saying? Let's say you take your glasses off, it's nighttime, and you've been up all night, and you're wondering, how many hours do I have left to sleep? You know? It's 3 o'clock, I have 3 hours left. It's 4 o'clock, I have 2 hours left. It's 5 o'clock, but you didn't even see it. I can't even see it, so I squint. Or, I don't need glasses, I squint. You cannot do that effectively and see, you know how it is. Now, the solution is not to have tunnel vision where you just see Jesus, 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 and nothing else. That's not what I'm saying. Hear me clearly. Tunnel vision will get you killed because you have no periphery there. So it's not tunnel vision. The solution is to have total vision, where Jesus is the lens through which you see all of life. And Jesus isn't just some pair of glasses you can put on when you think you need to see. That's the problem in the Christian life for many people. I'm not feeling good. I'll go to church. Well, I'm glad. I want you to. It's not working. Lord, help me. Yes, good. Amen. Lord, I need a word. Well, there's, you know, millions of them sitting there on your shelf. Boy, I need to start working out. So, you know, I'm going to go and press them on the beach and all that, so I work out today. But I ate a burrito and potatoes and everything else in the last 50 days in a row. I know how that is. Praise Jesus, I'm getting my way out of that. And although I had a pizza yesterday, thank you, Jesus. I'm talking about torturing yourself. Just don't trust yourself. Trust what he's saying here. We're just getting started. Anybody with us? Again, Jesus isn't just some pair of glasses you put on when you think you need to see. He's more like contact lenses that you have to keep on all the time or you don't see well at all. And Peter's saying that the correct lenses to look at life through are verses 5 through 7 there. And you have to keep improving your vision by keeping the lenses on at all times and doing your vision exercises. But somehow, many people think they know better than him. The truth is, they just don't want to see God as clearly as this. Or as they see it, they don't have to think they have to see him often or all the time. But they're wrong. Absolutely. And life proves it. I didn't say your life. I know you ain't looking at Jesus because your life stinks. It's life itself. You know. You need to see Jesus better. Is there anybody in here that needs to see Jesus better? The answer should be 100%. I know I do. And you need more than an annual checkup. You need to keep a weekly appointment to the eye doctor. And you need to keep your lenses on. This is your reminder. With such full lives, such busy schedules, everybody needs to be reminded of certain things and, you know, recall them and all that. You got sticky notes, right? You got sticky notes on your refrigerator. You got sticky notes here, sticky notes there, sticky notes on your forehead. What are you thinking, right? We all do that. Maybe not on the forehead thing, but you get my point. We've got little black books, little day miners, this appointment book, that appointment book. You got to remember this. You got to remember that, right? And what about the phones, calendars and birthdays? My wife makes different noises every day, and I'm like, it's just her phone. The trump of God could sound and be saying, well, it must be on the cell phone. I don't know. I'm coming back. No, I thought it was the cell phone. I won't do that, but you get my point. These phones do incredible things, and the kids know them, but everybody's got these reminders and things like that. I mean, I know when someone calls, it goes, I'm getting in trouble, man. I need to get back to the script here. We all need reminders, right? And Peter's reminding you that Jesus is the most important thing in this life. Now, easily, people say, oh, of course it is, of course it is. Yes. But let me say something. He's not talking about Jesus leading you some version of worldly success or fulfillment. He's talking about living the character of Christ in all that you do. This isn't about a successful quality of life. It's about a spiritual quality of life. It's eternal life lived in this life. And you need to be reminded of that. Now we're in the text. He says, therefore. Therefore. Because of all he said, now this. When there's therefore there, it's there for a reason. Because of everything I've said, what I've indicated, now this is how I'm going to exhort you. Therefore, Peter's looking back to what he said in verse 1 through 11. He's referring to the incredible blessings of salvation. That's verses 1 through 4. And the importance of growing in the character of Christ. That's verses 5 through 7. And then the implications of either following that plan or not, in verse 8 through 11. If you follow it, you're effective, you're fruitful, you're hopeful, you're building rewards in heaven, you're going to be more confident in Jesus now, and you're going to see the life through Jesus' lens, and he'll be bigger. But if not, you're going to grow nearsighted, be so bad you're almost blind, you won't have an assurance of salvation, you ought not to have, you may not even be saved. But there are people that are saved that are nearsighted, they just don't see well, and everything rocks their boat, and they want to abandon ship, but when you abandon ship, you drown. It's important. He goes, you know what's so important? I'm going to blabber on for a few more verses. He says, I intend. Now watch this. Because when you think you've got it, you ain't got it. Even if you have got it, you ain't got it. He says, I intend always, someone say always, always to remind you of these qualities. He's talking about verse 5 through 7. Though you know them and you are established in the truth that you have. Isn't that something? Peter says, since this is all so important, I'm going to keep reminding you about it, even though you already know it. Don't your kids do that? We're going to Disney World tomorrow. We're going to Disney World tomorrow. Yeah, we're on our way there. We're almost there. We're almost there. Are we there yet? What he's teaching in this letter is not just for the new converts. It's also for believers who are already well aware of these truths and are already well living them out. Yay! Now, these are basic things, but they're more than just the basics. These are the pattern for continued growth, strength, and protection, and you always need to be reminded of that. And when things are taking you away from that, even if they're good things, they're the wrong things. You can have good things turn you into bad things. Things for God. If they're taking you away from growing in the character of Christ, they're missing the mark. There's another word for missing the mark, by the way. Hamartia. Oh, wait, no. Sin. Becoming more like Jesus must always be the aim of your faith. And so the qualities of verse 5 through 7 must always be your pursuit. If you're advancing these qualities, you become more effective, fruitful, and hopeful. That's verse 8 and verse 10 through 11. We've gone through all that. I'm repeating myself now as he was. And if not, you're going to fall back and become spiritually nearsighted, ineffective, unfruitful, less hopeful. That's verse 9. You need to be reminded of just how important this is. Because Christians can get sidetracked into pursuing other things instead of these qualities. Again, they might even be good things, but those good things become bad things if they keep you from pursuing these qualities. I'm tithing, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing that, and I volunteer, and I do this, and I do that, and these things aren't growing in you. You're going to be one of those people that get up there and say, didn't we do this, this, this? And he goes, I don't know you. I could say, I wore number 23. I went to every Chicago home game. I followed your baseball career. I did this. I did this. And I've given more money to your charities and this, that, and other. Michael Jordan would say, I don't know you. How do you know Jesus? I know what he's like. He told me. You can see it in verse 5 through 7. I can know him experientially because I can see him living through that divine power, that divine nature, those divine promises to grow that inside of me. Therefore, I know and I become effective and fruitful. And that's what those verses are, by the way. Not, I have this ministry and I do this and I'm using my spiritual gift. No. Are you growing in the character of Christ? The gift is the Holy Spirit. And that's what he wants to do inside of you. Amen. Stop chasing after the wrong thing, thinking that's the next new, exciting thing that's going to spiritually get me off. You're off on a tangent. Peter's saying, look, I'm going to hammer this thing home. I'm about to die, and I've got to tell you what the most important thing is. And it's always about Jesus, and not just saying Jesus, not just having faith in Jesus, but making every effort to furnish that faith that he has given you with these things. And if these things happen, you will never fall. Someone will be teaching you and trying to bring you new things, and you won't need them because, look, I've already experienced. I don't need blind signs and wonders and this. I've got it happening in my life, baby. His character. Now, even long-term committed Christians can forget the blessings of salvation and wander off into sinful patterns. You can fail to experience the divine power, the divine nature, the divine promises in your life. You can fail to have grace and peace multiplied in your life. And so you can fall prey to false teachers and false teachings. But if these things are happening to you, you won't buy what they're selling. So you need to constantly be reminded to constantly pursue the truth. When it comes to growing in the character of Christ, you'll never reach the summit in this life. There is always room to grow. Amen. Amen. And you'll never simply stay where you are. You will always need to grow. You need to be reminded of this. You're either going to be growing closer to Christ's likeness or you are falling away. You cannot stand still. It does not happen. Peter says, I've got to always remind you of this plan because you always got to stick with this plan. And there's always going to be false teachers and false teachings that will try to pull you away from this plan. You need the reminder. Even when you know the truth, even when you're established in the truth, you've got to be reminded of the truth to keep engaging in and experiencing the truth. These qualities represent the character of Christ. And they're the key to a vibrant faith. Growing in these qualities is what multiplies grace and peace in your life. You do not grow beyond them, and you do not grow without them. You don't grow beyond those qualities. You don't grow without them. And they don't grow automatically. So you've got to continue to make every effort to grow in them, no matter how long you've practiced them. And we've already been through all this, but make every effort. I can explain it to you very easily because you have stuff that you're going to do no matter what. I've got to do this. If I got to take a job, if I got to work extra hours, if I got to slap someone inside the head, if I got to study real hard, if I got to go to the bathroom 50 times a day, I can make up a million things. You know what it means when it says make every effort. You're going to do everything it takes to get that thing you want. And he's saying this is what you ought to want because your children are saying, oh, it's going to be like, gee, they see you saying and all that, and you're still mean as a rattlesnake. You should walk out of here and say, well, I don't know, you know. And you're teaching them that it doesn't matter what gets preached, that you are the one that gets to decide. Are you the spiritual eye doctor? Yeah, I'm pointing at you. This is God's word. He goes, I'm going to remind you of this forever. Because even after I die, I've got to write this stuff down. And if you have this, then people can't throw all kinds of stuff at you and all kinds of crud at you and say, you need to do this and go to this conference and pay this money and say, I've got him working in my life. I don't ask what would Jesus do. I ask sometimes what would he have me do. I don't have to ask what Jesus would do. I'm doing it. You get my point? It's this. Peter is about to die. He says, I've got one shot left to tell you, and this was the message he preached. This is your reminder. Repetition is needed. It provides a safeguard. Peter's not the only one that did this. Again, so did Paul. Philippians 3:1, Romans 15:15, many places. For me to repeat myself, it's no big deal to me, and it's good for you. Jesus taught this way. The whole Bible repeats the same truths over and over and over again. That's what the amazing thing about the book. The Old Testament, the New Testament, and all that. It's this one constant theme of redemption. You see it over and over and over again. What is the gospel? Jesus saves sinners. Or Jesus saves. Jesus rescues. Again, different way, different contexts and things like that. But the Bible continually paints the picture of our forgetfulness and our need to be reminded. You see that with the children of Israel over and over and over again. He remind them, say, if you do this, this will happen. If you don't do this, this will happen. Oh, wait a minute. You see it in the Psalms. Doesn't it repeat the same thing over and over again? You ever read Psalm 119? Of course we have. But do you realize the nuance and the depth there? What about the disciples? He feeds 5,000. A couple weeks later, how are you going to feed the 4,000? With more food. How's it going to happen? That's what happens. We are all that way. We forget. You know what you say. I'd forget my hand if it wasn't on my head, shoulders or whatever. God knows that His children are forgetful, even when they're faithful. This doesn't mean you're not faithful. Faithful people can become forgetful sometimes. There's a lot going on. The Holy Spirit inspired the writers of Scripture to repeat the same truths of God over and over and over and over again. Why? Because you need it, I need it, we need it. It's healthy and helpful to hear the truth again and again in fresh ways. The more you hear it, the more it sinks in and bears fruit. Just like increasing, right? Continuing, verse 5 through 7, increases your fruitfulness. Oh, I've got more for you. Now you're talking to people, and some people might not have even heard the truth yet. And some might be in rebellion against it and need to be exhorted again. And some, that light just hasn't come on. It's just question mark, question mark, question mark, and then light bulb. But some people might know more than you do. They might do more than you. They might live this truth out more than you. But you still got to remind people. You remind them with your life before your words. Not because they're ignorant, not because they're rebellious, but because they're people. You need this. There's no one that'll ever hear this message that doesn't need this message. I need this message. We all need this. I have already got this. Then you prove that you need it. If you're mature, you're going to appreciate the reminder. Again, I love to tell the story for those who know it best, seem hungering and thirsting to hear it like the rest. And you don't forget to preach to yourself. If you're a born-again Christian, you got any of them in here today? You've been given the divine power, the divine nature, and the divine promises of God. That's what you see in verse 3 through 4. And that Jesus life, the stickers and the bumpers and all that we have around here, the Jesus life of verse 5 through 7 is available to you. But even when you know what's most important, you're prone to procrastinate, especially with things you know are going to be available when you want them. You got the glasses. You see how they are, and you just want to put them on, take them off, put them on, take them off. But Peter says you got to have the contact lens. You got to keep increasing in these qualities, and you got to make every effort to do that. If you don't, you won't be as effective, fruitful, and hopeful as you would. You become nearsighted, even to the point of being blind. You see other things as bigger than Jesus in the moments of crisis and temptation. It isn't, I'm about to hit another car. I better put my glasses on. You need to have had those things on the whole time, had the lenses on so that and not be driving. And then see. You see, these qualities are like spiritual contact lenses. This is counseling right here. Well, this is. I can't make magically delicious wave my wand and make all those problems go away, but I can lead you to Jesus and say, if you see these things through Jesus, you'll see better what to do. These spiritual contact lenses improve your vision so you can see better in every part of life. You can see like Jesus. Did you know that? But poor spiritual vision, it slows you down, leads to mistakes, invites tragedy. Peter's giving you the remedy. And people are still prone to procrastinate. They're content to get by with poor spiritual vision, with sleepy spiritual eyes. So God uses reminders to stir you up from your spiritual slumber. With so much going on, there's a lot going on. I know that. It's easy to get distracted from what's really important. And when you're talking about spiritual things, distraction leads to deception, which leads to destruction. Distraction, deception, distortion, destruction. distortion. You're not really getting it, so that now you want to talk to me about your wife, or you want to talk to me about your husband, and you, they do this because of this, they do this, and I see the grass growing. You ain't got to be a prophet to watch the grass grow. You're pulling away from ministry, then you're pulling away from being here, then you're just pulling away, and what do? You look for something else. Tempted to try to find some new thing, some exciting thing, as if this is what's going to keep you going forward. You know what? It might work. It might keep you moving in that sense. But movement for its own sake is not the most important thing for your spiritual growth. You don't need some new exciting thing. Following the character of Christ, this old thing, this is the most exciting thing, and it can be a continually renewing thing in your life. It's supposed to be. You never have to stop growing. You can be old and be growing in Jesus. Amen. Because we're all getting older. But are we getting more mature? You can be. What did Paul say? He says, my body's wasting away day after day. It's getting worse and worse. But inside, my new man is being renewed. Those are just words? No. But he's the Apostle Paul. Peter says, you're just like me. You have that same faith. You have been given everything, everything that pertains to life and godliness. But you've got to continually activate your faith. What does that look like? It looks like verse 5 through 7. If you don't keep your focus sharp, your eyesight will grow dim and distorted. This is your reminder. I'm going to talk about fruit here a little bit. The character of Christ that you see in verse 5 through 7 is what will multiply grace and peace in your life. That's the whole thesis of the book. May grace and peace be multiplied in your life through the knowledge of God. What does the knowledge of God look like? What he shows you in verse 5 through 7. He says, I've given this to you, now walk it out, and you'll prove Jesus in your life. That's what makes you effective, fruitful, and hopeful. You need to be reminded about the truth about Christian fruit. You see, fruit takes on the nature of the tree. Anybody listening to me? You don't get apples from an orange tree. You get apples from an apple tree, and you get oranges from an orange tree. Now, when your life is shaken, what fruit comes falling down? Someone shakes your tree, right? What happens? Is it the character of Christ? What fruit is your life producing? The sure way to tell if you're well-rooted in the Jesus tree is what fruit do the pressures and pleasures of life produce in you? Is it more Christ-likeness or less? So fruit takes on the nature of the tree. Everybody sees that one, right? Apples, you get apples. Babies, you get watermelons coming out of there? Just add that for a bonus. Fruit takes on the nature of the tree, and you can see fruit, can't you? It's visible. The character qualities that Jesus put inside you are things he wants you to live out. He wants other people to see it and eat them. See, fruit's visible, and fruit is produced for others to eat. The Jesus life is the most satisfying thing there is, but it's not just for your personal satisfaction. I'm not getting anything out of this. Is anybody else getting it from you? I need ministry. You need to get eaten up. Don't think like that, do you? You got somewhere to go. Other people can be fed on your fruit. That's what it's for. The only kind of fruit that eats itself is what we call rotten. Think about that. The kind of fruit that's rotten is the kind of fruit that's eaten on the inside, eating itself up. You need to be reminded that this can help you see better, my friends. That's part of what Peter's aiming at in this epistle, being able to spot the spiritual fads and frauds trying to sell you on something that isn't really about Jesus. Or they talk about Jesus, but it isn't the character of Jesus in your life. The Apostle Paul, I think it's Galatians 4:19, says, I groan until Jesus Christ is formed in you. When some minister or ministries primarily focused on benefits for you instead of who Christ is, developing his character in your life, and the fruit that character is serving as food for others, you know they're barking up the wrong tree. Let's look at verse 13. He says, I think it's right, as long as I'm in this body, to stir you up by way of reminder. Peter was determined to keep reminding people about the incredible blessings of salvation, verse 1 through 4. The importance of growing in the character of Christ, verse 5 through 7. And the implications of either following the plan or not, verse 8 through 11. Now, considering all that, he was constantly reminding people what the right thing to do was. He's fired up, and he wanted to keep the people fired up. So as long as he lived, he was going to continually share his passion about it so they might be passionate to do it. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Do it, do it, do it, do it. This is it, this is it, this is it. No, not this thing. You can do this thing after this thing. But if you're not doing this thing, that thing's no use to you. Likewise, we've got to always stir each other up. You know, Hebrews 10, 24, 25, 26, talking about the fact that Jesus is coming back and we need to stir each other up to love and good works, and even more so as the day gets closer, and every day is one day closer. You need to be reminded that you need to be reminded. Look at verse 14. Since I know that the putting off of my body will be soon, as our Lord Jesus Christ made clear to me. Now, Peter's passion was fueled by the importance of what he was teaching. But it was also fueled by the knowledge he was going to die soon. Apparently, Jesus had told Peter personally about his impending death. That might be what we see in John 21, verse 18 and 19. Now, Peter knew this wasn't the end of his journey, only the putting off of his earthly body is what he said. But he also realized this would be his final message, his last will and testament, and his lasting legacy in print. Peter was about to die, and this was the message he preached. Think about that. If you had one shot, what would you tell people? What would you want them to remember? This is what he wanted you to remember. He wanted to make sure people knew the most important thing, and that false teachers and false doctrine wouldn't turn him from it. He knew his role as an apostle. He knew he had one last shot to speak for God and to speak to God's people. He wasn't going to waste any time. He was going to be clear and to the point. He was going to drive that point home. Verse 15. He says, and I will make every effort. Isn't that funny? He said, you make every effort. I'm making every effort. Make every effort so that after my departure, you may be able at any time to recall these things. Again, he told him in verse 5, make every effort to grow in these things. Now he's making every effort to remind him of these things so they can recall these things. He was doing that especially by writing this letter. And he's still reminding you today. The question is, do you hear what he's saying? Let me say something, clear up a couple things, and then we're just going to nail this thing home. Peter's not saying that your assurance of salvation isn't tied to your faith. He's saying exactly the opposite of that. Your assurance of salvation is tied to your faith. Not how well you're doing. It's about how well he did. But your faith is strengthened by exercising it. These eye muscles, right? In other words, you look to Christ in faith. But following after the character of Christ will help you see better. Help him see him better. You look to Christ in faith, and you walk with Christ by faith, and the closer you walk, the better your spiritual vision will be, and the more effective, fruitful, and hopeful you'll be through the trials and troubles of life. Now, I'm not asking you to be so introspective all the time. I'm not saying, you know, just beat yourself up. It's not about looking inside of you. It's about looking to Jesus. Self-centered thinking is what leads you to the wrong place. You know why? Because when you're living up to your own standards, you feel confident, and then you're proud and unsympathetic to people that just ain't didn't do it. Well, I did this. You should be able to do it too. Yeah, that's helpful. And when you're not living up to your standards, you feel like a failure, and no one sees you. But they see you. Instead of basing your identity and self-worth on how hard you work or how moral you are, you got to realize it's only by God's grace that you're accepted in Christ. Get back into verse 1 through 4 and realize he did this to you. When he said Simeon, he's identifying with Jews. When he said Peter, he's identifying with Gentiles, everybody else. When he said a servant, the lowly people, apostle, the high-born people, to those who obtained a like precious faith, he's saying has been given this faith. Obtained means like a lot, like a dice. He's the one that gives you this faith. It's not that I've done so well, now I've obtained the faith. I'm just going to squint and try harder. No. He's saying, I've given you this stuff. Now, You have it in seed form. Now, grow in this knowledge. Walk this stuff out. You have all the equipment that you need. And when you do that, you'll be effective. You'll be fruitful. You'll be hopeful. You'll look more like me. You'll see me. And all these bad things that come on will just prove how strong I am in your life. You center your identity and self-worth on Him. You can be humble and confident at the same time. Don't torture yourself, but don't trust yourself. The key is to keep your eyes on Jesus. The more you actually do that, the more you'll actually become like Him. You need to pursue the character of Christ. The qualities of verse 5 through 7 in your daily life. You have all you need. You have the divine power, the divine nature, the divine promises to keep you on track. And if you keep at it, you're going to increase in spiritual vision. You'll spot the fads and frauds. You'll be more effective, fruitful, and hopeful in the knowledge of God. And grace and peace will be multiplied in your life, and that's what we all need. But if you don't, then other things are going to make Jesus look smaller, more distant, less clear, and you will suffer for it. You may be saved, but you're not looking at Jesus. You're looking at down, and you're feeling down, and just everything holds you down. There's nothing as important as your spiritual vision. And nothing can replace the blueprint for that Jesus life that Peter has given you in verses 1 really through 15 here. Don't let anyone or anything get between you and Jesus. Peter was about to die, and this is the message he preached. If I was about to die or I was about to leave this church, this is the message I want to make sure you remember. You need to keep focus. You need to keep your eye appointments. You need to keep your lenses on. If you do, you'll see everything through the lens of Jesus. If you don't, you'll be headed for trouble and you won't even see it coming. This is your reminder. Father, just as you take our prayers and make them as if we knew what we were praying for, take this word and apply it to our hearts in such a way that whatever mistakes or idiosyncrasies or things that I did wrong, that you would just wipe those out and just put the good stuff in. And we know what it is. And you've shown us and you've reminded us. Help us to stay stirred up, Lord. We know the troubles and trials and the pleasures and problems of life all serve to stir us up. Let us turn our eyes to you and behold your beauty, that we might be satisfied with nothing less. This we pray in Jesus' name, amen.